is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
I'm George Matisek. Do you know which Catholic church in the United States has the longest main aisle? Or which cemetery serves as the final resting place for more Hall of Fame baseball players than any other in the country? And do you know the name of the Russian prince who became a priest in the newly formed United States of America? Believe it or not, the answers to all of those questions have ties right here to the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And today's guest will share those amazing stories and much more. Marian Amberg is the author of Incredible Catholic America, Smallest, Tallest, Oldest, Oddest, a fascinating collection of more than 300 stories about the people, places, and traditions that make Catholic America unique. She's also the author of two award-winning Catholic travel books and a journalist whose work appears in more than 100 markets nationwide. So Marian, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Oh, thank you, George, for having me. This will be great fun.
Okay, so let's start off by answering that first question. Which Catholic church in the United States has the longest aisle?
Well, I know that one. That is the Cathedral of Mary, our Queen, and of course, that's in Baltimore.
And it's 165 feet long, which is nearly half the length of a football field, right?
That is correct. So if a bride wants to get married in the church with the longest aisle, they're going to be going to the Cathedral of Mary, our Queen. And can you imagine what a grand entrance that would be on your wedding day? That's a long aisle.
My sister-in-law actually got married there. So yeah, she had a long walk down the aisle.
Oh, wow.
One of the things that's most fascinating to me about the cathedral is how it came into being. And I'm always surprised that more people don't know this story, but it all comes back to Thomas O'Neill and the Great Baltimore Fire of 1904. Could you explain that? Tell us that story of how the cathedral came into existence.
So in February of 1904, the Great Baltimore Fire, I mean, it just started and it just spread across the city. And the fire was inching, well, not inching, it was really roaring towards Thomas O'Neill's dry goods store. And he employed in that store and then also overseas 500 people. So he was really concerned about the store and also concerned about the livelihoods of his 500 employees. He ran over to a nearby Carmelite monastery, and he begged the nuns to pray for his store, you know, to save the store. And just as the flames were about to lick the south side of the store, the winds suddenly shifted and the store was saved. So in Thanksgiving, he wrote in his will that he was going to leave $5 million. Now, this is in 1904, which today I estimated would be some $91 million to build a new cathedral in Baltimore. But then came the Great Depression and then World War II, so the building of the cathedral was delayed until the 1950s.
And it really is a grand structure, a neo-Gothic limestone structure. And you say in your book that the structure itself is 370 feet long, which is 41 feet longer than St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York.
Yes, St. Patrick's Cathedral is absolutely glorious, but the Cathedral of Mary, our Queen, just inches, you know, is a few feet longer than St. Patrick's.
Okay, so let's go to that second question we referenced. Which cemetery serves as the final resting place for more Hall of Fame baseball players than any other in the country?
This is probably my favorite story for Maryland, because when I was doing my research and I ran across this, I just howled, because only in Catholic places would we have something like this. So that is the New Cathedral Cemetery in Baltimore. So there are four members of the National Baseball Hall of Fame, and they all have ties to the Baltimore Orioles, of course. And their gravesites form an invisible baseball diamond in the cemetery. So we have John McGraw at home plate, Joseph Kelly at first base, Ned Hanlon is on second, and then Wilbert Robinson is on third. So even in death, they're playing ball.
And that cemetery is the final resting place of many other Catholic people that are very prominent. Several mayors are there. Baltimore Mayor Clarence Dew Burns, who was the city's first black mayor, is buried there. And so is Tommy D'Alessandro Jr., who is a former mayor and the father of Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House. So many prominent citizens buried there.
As far as I know, this is the only cemetery in the United States that has an invisible baseball diamond.
I've never heard of any other. Okay, so let's try that third question that we referenced. Can you tell us about the Russian prince who became the apostles to the Alleghenies in Western Maryland and the surrounding states?
Oh, the Russian prince. Yes, he gave up his inheritance in Russia, and he came over to the U.S., and I believe he studied at Mount St. Mary's Seminary, if I'm not mistaken. And he spent a lot of time in Western Pennsylvania. And there he built the forerunner of what is the Basilica of, I believe it's St. Michael the Archangel. And you're going to have to fill in, believe it or not, you're going to have to tell me his first name because it's just escaping me right now.
I think it's Demetrius Augustine Gallitzin.
Gallitzin, yes. You know, the funny thing about writing is I researched most of this probably 2-3 years ago, and then you go on to another project. And sometimes you forget the details. You forget sure. Some of those tiny details of what you're writing. I remember once I was sitting in a doctor's office, and it was some years ago when they still had a lot of magazines for the patients to read. And I picked up this Catholic magazine, and I was reading a story about the Grotto of the Redemption in West Bend, Iowa. And I go, whoa, this is really cool. So I thumbed back to see who had written the article, and I was the author. But I had forgotten I had even written about it.
I have the same experience. In fact, as we're speaking, I'm pulling up some old things that we've written here in Baltimore about Prince Gallitzin, and it says he actually went to St. Mary Seminary in Baltimore, which was the first seminary, and he was ordained by Archbishop Carroll, and so he was the first student of that seminary to receive all of his education and his ordination in America. So that's kind of interesting.
Okay, yeah, that sounds absolutely correct. And he was quite a guy. You know, he gave up everything in Russia and to come to the U.S. and become a priest. Mm.
And he was the first pastor of St. Joseph in Tawnytown in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And then he was one of those circuit riders who would get on his horse and travel all around the Alleghenies ministering to Catholics, which at that time would have been a very small band of people, but he did a lot of traveling. Marian, in your book, you highlight a lot of other ties to the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and probably one of the biggest of those is the Basilica of the National Shrine and the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in downtown Baltimore, which is the first Catholic cathedral in the United States, although that's also contested by some in the country. Could you tell us about how that building came into existence?
So Bishop John Carroll, he was the first bishop of the United States, and he wanted a cathedral that was not in the traditional styles of Europe. You know, in Europe, they were building Gothic and the Romanesque cathedrals. And he wanted something that was uniquely American and that also celebrated freedom of worship, freedom of religion under the new constitution. So the architect for the Basilica was Benjamin Latrobe. He was the architect of the U.S. Capitol. And so they built it in kind of a neoclassical style. And it is unlike, you know, any cathedral anywhere, because it's just absolutely gorgeous. And Pope John Paul II, he called America's first cathedral, which is now, you know, the Basilica, he called it a worldwide symbol of religious freedom. And I really believe that's what it is. And there's more history that was made there. In 1846, the American bishops gathered at the cathedral and declared the Blessed Mother, under the title of the Immaculate Conception, patroness of America. And then the Baltimore Catechism was commissioned here in 1884. I should add that the cathedral, the basilica, as we call it today, was built between 1806 and 1821. And in Louisiana, okay, so this cathedral was the first cathedral of what was then the United States. The Cathedral of St. Louis in New Orleans, that was built in the 1700s, but they were not then a part of the United States. Mm-hmm. So you have to be kind of tricky about how you word these things, because technically, the cathedral in New Orleans is older than the cathedral in Baltimore, but it all comes down to how you describe it.
Mm-hmm. We also have that distinction with Father Charles Uncles, and Father Uncles was a Josephite priest, and he was the first Black Catholic ordained on U.S. soil in the United States. And a lot of people think the first Black Catholic priest was Father Augustus Tolton, but he was actually ordained overseas. So you have another one of those distinctions on who was first. One of the other things that intrigued me about the Basilica that I was always fascinated is how it was funded. And I don't think you mentioned in this in your book, but there was actually a lottery to pay for the building of the Basilica. And when the Archbishop John Carroll, picked out the winning ticket, it just happened to be the ticket that he purchased. So he donated his winnings back to the construction fund, which might be a little suspicious. It might be providence, it might be coincidence, but no one seemed to object at the time. So
No, I did not know that. That's a very interesting tidbit.
Very fascinating. Well, our guest today is Marian Amberg, and she is the author of Incredible Catholic America, Smallest, Tallest, Oldest, and Oddest. And we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. I'm George Matusek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. 10 victim survivors shared emotional impact statements November 5th in Baltimore federal court about clergy and church-related abuse as minors connected to the Archdiocese of Baltimore. U.S. bankruptcy judge Michelle M. Harner called it an opportunity for individuals to engage in the Chapter 11 process and be heard. The session, attended by Archbishop William E. Lurie and Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker, lasted 2.5 hours. One man said abuse left him lost, confused, and broken, while another survivor told the court the church heals when it listens. Archbishop Lurie called the painful stories soul-searching. For more on this story, visit catholicreview.org. Students and faculty at St. Louis School in Clarksville celebrated November 5th after being named a 2025 Maryland State Blue Ribbon School, the only one in Howard County. Principal Deborah Thomas said, quote, "We have an unbelievable staff who are dedicated to our children," end quote. Howard County Executive Calvin Ball declared November 5th St. Louis School Day. For more on this story, visit catholicreview.org. Texas voters overwhelmingly approved an amendment enshrining parental rights in the state constitution November 4th. The Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops endorsed the measure. Executive Director Jennifer Ullman said, quote, "There's actually no real change in this passing in terms of rights parents already had, but by solidifying it in the Constitution, we're protecting it for the future," end quote. The amendment passed with 70% of the vote. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And Pope Leo XIV told the National Missionary Congress of Mexico that being a missionary means bringing the gospel into the world and transforming lives, which transforms societies. He said, quote, "It is not enough to say, Lord, Lord, we must do the will of the Father. We must be willing to put our hands into the dough of the world," end quote. Missionaries grow God's kingdom not by force or by numbers, but through the patience of those who, with faith and love, continue kneading alongside God, the Pope said. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Finally, as the U.S. marks its 250th anniversary next year, the U.S. bishops will consecrate the nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The decision was taken during a November 11th session of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Fall Plenary Assembly in Baltimore. The consecration would take place at the USCCB's Spring Assembly in June 2026. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Our guest today is Marian Amberg, author of Incredible Catholic America, Smallest, Tallest, Oldest, Oddest. So, Marian, before we continue with some of the interesting facts in your book, could you tell us what inspired you to write this book and how you went about your research?
Oh, I had been doing freelance writing for about 30 years. And, you know, I started back in the day when people still had magazines. There was no online, you know, magazines or online content. And I always gravitated toward shrines and churches and things with a religious nature to it. And I remember telling one editor, I said, if I had to write about one thing, it would be on churches and shrines. If I had to write about one thing for the rest of my life, that's what I would write about. Mm. And so I just started collecting these little pieces of tidbits here and there. They just kind of landed in my lap. And so I decided, well, let's have some fun and put together a book of trivia. And the book is not just trivia, but I also have incredible churches and church art, incredible people. We have Mother Angelica. I describe her as the Wonder Woman of TV. Mm-hmm. We have incredible trivia and then also incredible legends and lore. And then there are 25 extreme, and I mean really extreme trivia questions scattered throughout the book, because there always seems to be somebody who knows everything. And I tried to make these questions really hard so they did not know every single thing. And so a lot of my research was, some of it was done online. Some of it is because I had visited some of these places. And again, it's some stuff just seems to fall into my lap. I might open a book and there's a little kernel of something that I might use in the future.
What were some of your favorite discoveries that you included in the book?
One of my favorites is up in extreme northwestern North Dakota, and it's in by the little town of Granora. And, you know, most grottos are built after, you know, people will pray to God, and when they get the answer, then they will build a grotto, like the Grotto of the Redemption in West Bend, Iowa. And, by the way, that is the world's largest man-made grotto. That's an answer to prayer. And so a lot of grottos are answers to prayer, but in Granora, North Dakota, they built this grotto in a cemetery as a plea to God. And they built this in 1931. And as you know, the Great Depression started in 1929, and a couple of years later, the Dust Bowl, these dirt storms were just attacking the upper Midwest. There was no rain. And so when these dirt storms would come in, I mean, they were just massive clouds of dirt. And when they passed through and everything settled, sometimes those drifts, those dirt drifts, they would be like snow drifts. They would cover fences. They were enormous. So here you have this farming community where there's no rain. Their livestock is dying of dust pneumonia. So they decided to build this grotto in the cemetery. And so they collected field stones and they built it. It's a fairly good sized grotto. They built it as a plea to God. And so they would go out to this grotto and they would pray and they would thank God for his providence, even though they never saw anything, you know, because the depression and the dust bowl, that went on for several years. And I was so impressed by that story because it was an act of faith. They were putting their trust in God. And to me, it just really spoke of the faith of these people, you know, how grounded they were, their trust in God was. And one of the interesting tidbits about this grotto is that it's located in, and I'm not making this up, Good Luck Township.
Wow.
I mean, eventually they had good luck because the rains came back.
Wow, that's a great story. So you have a lot of other tidbits about the Archdiocese of Baltimore in here. Of course, the Archdiocese is the home of so many firsts. It's the first seminary was founded here at St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore. And then the second seminary in the country is in Emmitsburg at Mount St. Mary's. And then we have many religious orders that were founded here, including the Oblate Sisters of Providence, the first order of religious women for Black women. And that was founded by Venerable Mother Mary Lang. And one of the other interesting tidbits that you mentioned is with Archbishop William D. Borders, who was the longtime former Archbishop of Baltimore. But before he came to Baltimore, he was in the Diocese of Orlando, and he became the first Bishop of the Moon. Can you tell us how that happened?
I forgot that he was in Baltimore. So what happened was when, you know, they landed on the moon, he alerted the Vatican that he now had jurisdiction over the moon because at that time, under the code of canon law, any newly discovered territory fell under the jurisdiction of the diocese from where the expedition was launched. And since Cape Canaveral, the launching site of Apollo 11 was in the Diocese of Orlando, he became the Bishop of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
but as he told the Vatican, he only had one parishioner, the man in the moon.
Mm-hmm. Such a great story. So how could readers get copies of your book?
It's available from Our Sunday Visitor at osvcatholicbookstore.com. It's on Amazon. It's on all of your major bookseller websites. And I always encourage people to visit your local Catholic bookstore. We want to patronize them and keep them in business.
Well, I think it would also be great if you have trivia contest in your parish or just with your family, grab a copy of this book. There's so many interesting things you could ask about. Well, our guest today has been Marian Amberg. She is the author of Incredible Catholic America, Smallest, Tallest, Oldest, Oddest. Marian, thanks again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
And thank you so much. I enjoyed the time.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path. One that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. K-12 Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.